For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Of the Nerd Report podcast. I'm your host, Mike Broadbent. Joining me once again is my co-host, Richie O'Leary. We're going to talk about, I'm still getting used to it. It's just muscle memory.
Of course.
So we're going to talk about Rutgers season finale loss on senior day to Ohio State, 73-51. Maybe the most disheartening game of the season. And that's kind of saying something because I think I've said that three or four times now. We're going to talk about, we got kind of a new segment. We're going to call it 3-2-1, where we talk about different topics around the basketball team moving into the offseason. Even though it's not quite the offseason, we have a game tomorrow in the Big Ten tournament versus Maryland at 6:30 on the Peacock. But for all intents and purposes, this season is over. And we'll sprinkle in some recruiting stuff into that as well. But first, our presenting sponsor is Night and Day Apparel. Calling all Rutgers students, alumni, and fans. Are you looking for a new and unique Rutgers merchandise? Night and Day has you covered. From t-shirts to hoodies to drinkware to pet accessories, Night and Day focuses on providing the Rutgers community with exclusive one-of-a-kind tailgating products. Be sure to check out all the links in the podcast description below and on their website so you can stay on top of everything Night and Day, including new merch drops and promotional announcements. Shop now and keep shopping. We are also sponsored by the Cut app. I love betting and betting really on anything, sports, you know, who's faster at running, who's going to be on the cover of NCAA football. And that's kind of what Cut allows you to do. It's a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal in 40 plus states. Cut has customizable odds, tracking capabilities, and an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards. All the payments are made through the app. You don't need to Venmo your friends when you win a bet. If you use our promo code Believe Rutgers, that's BLEAV Rutgers, no spaces, you get a 10% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use that promo code. Cut, put your money where your mouth is. All right, let's talk about this game from Sunday. Rutgers lost 73-51 in a game that Rutgers, they got off to another really slow start. They were down 11-1 after 7 minutes of the game. They ended up clawing their way back. They were only down by two at halftime, and they were able to, you know, keep that good momentum about 5 minutes into the second half, and then Ohio State just started hitting its shots and blew the game open. They ended up losing by 22. They were down by as much as almost 30 points in this one. A really disheartening sputter out to the end of a disappointing season. Rutgers finishes with a losing record in the regular season for the first time in a long time under Steve Peichel. I want to say since at least the 2018 season. But just talk about this game and kind of this season in general. Pike had some really illuminating stuff in the post game that I think is more interesting than anything happened in the game itself. But just kind of talk about this game and how it went and anything that was different from any of the other recent blowouts they've had?
I guess it was a little different because they didn't score for the first 7 minutes. They didn't score a basket. They did get a free throw. That's cool, I guess. But you also missed a second free throw, so it didn't matter. That's just been the talk of the season, whether it be free throws, whether it be lack of offense. It's the same thing over and over again. Now, they did fight back. They did make it a little competitive going into halftime. But then, again, they go into the second half. I don't know what the hell said in the locker room, and they fall apart. They can't buy a bucket. You've had three guys go 0 of 9 between Simpson, Williams, and Palmquist. Like, then Noah went 1 of 5. Add that in, it's just 2 of 9 from Jermichael Davis, 2 of 10 from Gavin Griffiths. You're 27% from the field is just abysmal. It's disgusting. It's gross. I don't know how you're a D1 player shooting 27% from the field, 22 from three. It's the same thing all season long. Stop taking them, maybe. We've said this multiple times now. If you're not going to make your threes, just I don't even care anymore. Just take the twos. Like, try to get free throw attempts, I guess. But I can't even say to do that because they got 28 free throw attempts and they shot 60%. So it's like, it's then you know who the best free throw shooter was? It was Cliff, their big man, who went 6 of 7.
Yeah, I do want to shout him out because he has gotten a lot better through his career at free throws.
And I'm sorry, I don't want to pick on Emmanuel Ogbol, but like the man looks like he's just chucking it like Sean Marion style at the backboard on a free throw. Like, it's just rough. It's just not a good look. No offense. Cliff fouled out. I forgot about that. It's the same old, same old. Second half was just gross. If you look at the scoring chart alone, it's just like they got a layup early on, I think like within 40 seconds, and then they didn't score again until the 16:50 mark. And it's like, there's just too many gaps where they're just not scoring. And at the end of the game, Ohio State goes on a 10-0 run, and then it's like, oh, we're down 30 now. Like, oh, this is great. Like, game over, no one really cares at that point. When you're down 15, it starts falling apart. Like, they just don't have the offense to even make a capable comeback. So, like, you go down double digits, it's almost like game over at that point. And it was just an ugly, ugly performance. And same that we've seen all season long. It's nothing different than the past couple weeks.
Yeah, so Rutgers now loses 6 of its final 7 games on the regular season. It just goes to show how bad that Michigan team was that we beat by 30 at home, scored 82 points. But outside of that, 51, 66, 56, 46, 68, 70 points in their last 6 losses. All of those losses, by the way, come by double digits. We lost on average, I want to say, we probably lost those games by almost 20 points. This is just the back 9 on this season, or the back 6, I guess we could say, on this season, if we're talking golf terms. It just didn't look like a Steve Peichel team. Like, the scoring woes is one thing, but the effort, I felt like, just wasn't there. You have guys who probably can play and aren't right now, and a guy like Moat Mag. You have just guys just having the yips, missing wide open shots. There's just no confidence offensively, and I feel like that's got to be reset in a very drastic way this offseason. Rutgers finishes the regular season 333rd, according to the NCAA stats, out of 351 teams in scoring offense. 65.8 points per game. Now, this is a program and, a team that Peichel was talking about wanting to push the pace and score 80 points a game this season. I think they scored 80 points like 4 times this season. So, I mean, this was just a team that was kind of doomed from the start in a lot of ways, but a lot of us just don't want to believe that and don't want to, go into the season thinking we can't really. A lot of us thought this was a potential NCAA tournament team if things broke right. And even as recently as like the Northwestern game, like we were 14-10, 6-7 in conference. Like, that was a team that, if we had an upset or two, we had a shot at the NCAA tournament, but we fell apart. And Peichel kind of hinted at that in his postgame presser. I think Jerry Carino asked him a question about, how does this change how you're going to approach team building and roster building in the offseason? And Peichel's answer was pretty poignant and pretty candid. He was pretty candid with his answer when he was talking about how, you got to have firm commitments from these guys early in the offseason. You can't, be waiting on guys to come back as late as he did last year. He talked about wanting to change when the windows for these guys being able to leave are, which obviously he has no control over. But he said he's got to do an excellent. I thought that word was interesting. He chose there. He's got to do an excellent job of managing this roster in the offseason, and how he can't just wait on guys anymore. So I think what's going to be interesting, and this will kind of like lead into our next segment, is how he goes about doing that in rapid succession as soon as the season's over. So the season could be over as early as tomorrow. So how he handles when these guys are actually going to give him firm commitments is going to be very interesting.
Hitting on the tempo thing a little bit, they definitely pushed the pace. It's proven right in the KenPom numbers. They went from 263 to 173. So they are pushing the pace a lot more. The fourth fastest tempo team in the Big Ten. The offseason is going to be really interesting. And I think you're going to see guys throw their name out there. Maybe not because you can't enter technically officially unless you're a grad transfer. But I think you're going to see guys throw their name out there almost immediately. If they lose tomorrow, I think Thursday morning I might wake up and I might have to write like 3 to 4 articles, maybe 5 articles.
Yeah. I'm looking at like all these offensive stats and one is worse than the other. Like the effective field goal percentage of this team was 43.7%, which effective field goal basically takes how good of a shooter you are and combining 3-point shooting, 2-point shooting, and free throw shooting. It kind of combines it into one metric. Rutgers is 348th, according to the NCAA, out of 351 teams. They are the worst team in the Power Five, they're the worst high major team. The only teams lower than them are Mississippi Valley State, Alabama State, and Coppin State. Those are the three teams that are worse than us in terms of effective field goal percentage.
In context, like three of the bottom four effective field goal players or effective field goal percentage for the players in high major. Derek Simpson, the worst high major field goal percentage.
What's his
effective? 34.8.
Oh, geez.
Then there's some other guy from Georgia Tech. Then it's Gavin Griffiths, 38.9, and then Jermichael Davis, 39.4.
Jeez.
So, like, even between Davis to Simpson, there's a pretty big gap. 5% is huge. Like, so not only do you have the worst high major field goal shooter, but you have the three of the four worst high major field goal shooters. So like there's your offensive woes right then and there. Like that's it.
So let's kind of get into that 3-2-1 segment. This will kind of be about how the offseason needs.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To go, give me, for this segment, what's your number three for this?
I'd say three is probably going to be three players I'm watching for a decision. I think number one's an obvious one. I think you got to see what Cliff needs to do, but I need to know like ASAP, Cliff. I can't be waiting till June for your NBA whatever thing that you want to do. We kind of saw it hinted at the other day. I forget the exact quote, but Cliff's guardian said something to Jerry Carino along the lines of like he's probably done. Like he's probably going to go play professional, which is fine. I'm cool with that. Like that's great. Need to know ASAP. Just let me know so I can figure this out. That being said, he wasn't mentioned by Trilly Donovan specifically, but there's some fans on there mentioning like St. John's potential for him. I could see him entering the portal too, just to see like throw your name in the portal while declaring. We've seen players do it in the past couple years, and it can kind of let you determine if you have like value out there, which I mean, Cliff's going to have value from someone. So I wouldn't be shocked if he ended up going elsewhere at the end of the day. And he's been very loyal to Rutgers. He's been here, what, 4 or 5 years? Something like that?
Yeah, yep.
So I wouldn't be shocked, but I do think he's probably going to go professional more than anything. I'm still pretty confident in it. Not as confident as I once was before. I'd still say it's 60-40 he leaves, but it's a little closer than I would say a month ago. I'd probably would have said I was like 80-20 that he was leaving. Now I'm like 60-40, so it's a little closer. Would they want him back? I think they would take him back, but I need to know, I need to know now. Like, I can't be waiting. So,
yeah, and I honestly wouldn't hold it against him if he does end up leaving Rutgers and going to another school for a year, because you got to think of it like, mm-hmm. if he's not an NBA guy, this might be the biggest opportunity he has to get paid playing basketball. Like, he could probably make high six figures going elsewhere to like blue blood.
Yeah.
So I just hope nobody holds it against him if he does choose to do that, because he has been incredibly loyal to Rutgers. He has had programs reach out to him several years in a row now about possibly going elsewhere. So for him to stay as long as he did and to, you know, give as much as he did to this program, I don't think you could hold it against him if he ended up going elsewhere for a year.
Yeah, no, I can't be mad at that at all. Even if it is down the street to St. John's, I know there's some older fans that still have some hatred towards St. John's because the Big East stays, but they're really like a non-threat because it's a totally different conference. You're probably not playing them. I mean, Rutgers did a scrimmage. That's about it. Like, that's the extent of it. Exhibition, whatever the hell you want to call it. The second player, I need to know what Mag's going to do. I think we all kind of know what Mag is going to do, but I just need to know for a fact, like, immediately. I'm not playing this waiting game with you. No offense. You kind of screwed me over the past month. I'm not waiting, personally. But,
and let's be honest, if you look at his stats, they've taken a huge nosedive this year. And I know he's coming back off an injury, but last year, he shot 50% from the field on 6 attempts a game. He shot 30% from 3 on 1.5 attempts per game. He was a 74% free throw shooter. He was averaging 5.3 rebounds a game, one steal a game, and 7.8 points per game. This year, 38.7% shooting on 9 attempts a game, 24.5% from 3 on 3 attempts a game. He's a 70% shooter from the line, which is decent. He's averaging only 2.5 rebounds a game, 1.2 steals per game, 9.1 points per game. So he, you know, increased the amount of shots he's taken by 3, and he's only scoring 1.2 points more. So, I mean, the offensive numbers have gone off the deep end for him, like most guys on the team, but he has regressed in this year, probably mostly due to injury, but he hasn't really looked good when he's been out there.
Yeah, you also missed, like, I know you missed a good chunk of, like, I think it was 8 games to start the season, but you missed 13 in general at this point. Might be more than that, actually. But no, like, his numbers have taken a dip. It's like, these are 1-year contracts for guys, essentially, like, if you want to put it in professional terms. And if this happens to a guy that got injured, I'm not re-signing him for the same amount. So I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to lower your NIL. I need to put this money elsewhere. And he's not coming back. I mean, it's like, basically officially not official, but it's just not going to happen. So yes, I just need an answer from him. I'm not playing a game with him. I'm not even going to entertain an offer, to be honest with you. If I'm Rutgers, I think I could find someone better at the 4 for a lot cheaper.
Yeah. And who's the last guy we should keep on the lookout for what he's going to do?
Yeah, it's going to be Jeremiah Williams. I don't think he goes anywhere, but they were very loyal to him when a lot of teams weren't. You saw what Illinois did to him. They picked him up and then dropped him when they found out about the other stuff off the court, which has since been dropped, by the way, that no one's mentioned, really, it seems like. There's about 18 articles from all kinds of websites saying, like, hey, Jeremiah Williams indicted, Rutgers did, blah, blah, blah. Another scandal, yada, yada, yada. And then he gets dropped, and then it's like, wait, where's the articles? What happened? We're not going to do those for Jeremiah now. Mm-hmm. But no, since then, like, Rutgers has been very loyal. He's close with Marlon Williamson. He's going to fit in almost perfectly to a T next to Dylan Harper in the backcourt. Good defender, can run the point if need be. I think it's going to be interesting to watch them next year, and I think he's like the perfect mold of a perfect guard that you need next to Harper in that backcourt. Harper could play the 1 at times, could play the 2 at times, and this is a guy that can also kind of do both. So it kind of, they counteract each other really well. I don't think he goes anywhere. That being said, Rutgers is going to have to give him a bag. And they've done that before. They were very open about retaining players and how it's very important they need to retain their own. They've done it with Caleb McConnell. They gave him a bag to return for 5th year, 6th year with COVID, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And it worked out really well. So I wouldn't be shocked if you saw him sign an NIL deal with someone or whatever. And I'd be shocked if he even contemplates leaving, because he fits perfectly. And it's a good. This is going to be a team that's going to make a giant run next year.
Totally agree. Let's move to the two on the countdown. Who are what are the two positions that you're looking out for in terms of additions this offseason that Rutgers needs to hit on?
The first one kind of goes hand in hand with that first part with Cliff Amore probably leaving. I need a big man. I really need a big man badly. We've been told they peeked into the portal a little bit to see who's already entering. I know the one guy from Harvard, I forget his name, Justice something.
Yeah.
He entered the portal. He's from the same city as Cliff. Now, I don't think they go after him. I don't even know if they're going to go that route, because we've been told that they've started to peek into a couple JUCOs already, too. So keep an eye out there as well. But I think Rutgers is going to go get a starting big man, starting caliber big man, a guy that could play probably 20, 25, maybe even 30 minutes a game, because Lathan Somerville's coming in, and that guy's a part of my rotation almost immediately. He's not going to be a starter immediately, but I think you're getting him 10-plus minutes immediately. He's able to do just about everything a guard can do at the center spot.
Yeah.
It's freaky. He could score at will. This team is going to be so much different next year. And I know everyone keeps crying, offensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, offensive coordinator. Just by adding Dylan and Ace alone, the offense is going to take massive leaps. And then add in a bunch of other guys, it's going to take an even bigger leap. Add in Lathan Somerville, who can score. Add in Jeremiah Williams, who's proven he can score at will. Bryce Dortch has had some pretty good stats this season. Dylan Grant hasn't played, but I know he's a damn good player, and he's going to fit in pretty well, too. I think this next year, it's going to be insane offensively. But going back to what you said before, they need a big man, number one. That's the huge priority. Number two, I need a shooter. I need to find a shooter, a wing guy, kind of a guard slash forward type that can just shoot the ball at the end of the day. And that's where a kid like, we've confirmed that Javon Porter report on Twitter is true. Rutgers has starting to show interest in him. He's from Pepperdine, shot 42 from the field. 3-point percentage isn't really that good.
It's only a big 30. Man too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 6'11", 220. But he can score. And that's that. I need someone that could score, someone that could shoot. Kind of do the best of both worlds. Now, this year, he wasn't as good from deep, but last year he was shooting 35% from the three. Honestly, I don't know Rutgers' numbers, but I'd have to argue that's probably one of the better on the team currently, if that's the number he puts up. Scored 16.2, 5-6 rebounds per game. Good hands, can do a little bit of everything, can score from the mid-range, which, you know, they love to take for some reason.
They got to clean that up this offseason. I do think you're talking about the offensive coordinator. I do think they need new blood in the coaching staff who is an offensive specialist, and that offensive specialist needs to drill into their heads that they need to be shooting two types of shots, three-pointers and getting to the rim. Mm-hmm. If they're not within a few feet of the rim, or if they're not beyond the arc, stop taking those damn shots, because you're going to need to take them sometimes. It happens. Even the most efficient offensive teams are going to take a handful of mid-range shots. But our biggest shot of the season in terms of percentages is the mid-range shot, and that has to change. That is the least efficient shot in all of basketball, and you're going to lose games on the margins if you don't play things analytically. It could be the difference between a win and a loss in the tournament if you take, 40% of your shots from the mid-range and you lose by three. Mm-hmm. It's a legitimate problem, and we need to fix it.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting. I think you definitely add Jay Young to that staff. And the other thing is you don't have to add them to on the court assistants, because I don't think any of those three changed between Marlon, TJ, and Brandon Knight. Depending, TJ getting an insane head coaching offer somewhere, but I don't even think he leaves unless it's a solid mid-major at least.
Yep.
But regardless, you have two other spots. I think those other two spots, I think Steve Hayne probably gets moved off to the bench somewhere. He's still probably in the staff in some capacity, but that's where you can find kind of add a Jay Young type and help with the big men. Then the other role, I think it's at Mike Larkin has it currently. He's been off the bench already, so maybe he shifts back to off the bench and more of that recruiting, director of recruiting type role, and then they shift in an offensive coordinator type. But regardless, end of the day, they need a big man really bad. As we told you, keep an eye out for a couple transfers, even a couple JUCOs maybe, and a shooter. And Javon Porter is the first name that we've seen pop up. out of the portal. Now, there's not many portal guys right now just because it's only grad transfers at the moment. So keep an eye out because they're going to be very active this portal season.
Yeah, it is next week, I believe. The portal opens next Monday.
Yeah.
Be prepared because it is going to be crazy. You're going to probably have guys enter you didn't expect. You're going to have guys who, you know, are showing interest in Rutgers that you would have never probably expected a year or two ago if they entered the portal. So it is going to be a very interesting time. But what is the number one on this list? What is the most important thing that I guess Pikel needs to consider moving into this off season for building for next year?
It's all about fitting around your two stars. You got to fit around how we've seen it at the NBA level. And I know it's a little different. If you don't have the right pieces around stars, it doesn't work. Like, for example, I'll use the Nets. The Nets had Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. They tried shifting this star player, James Harden, in here. That didn't work. They tried shifting, like, hey, let's build a little, like, core of rotational players around them. That didn't work. Obviously, that was injury-prone, too, but you've seen other teams do it, too. You add star players, and it just doesn't work at the end of the day. You need to fit around these guys. I think Jeremiah Williams is a great fit around these guys, both culturally and play style. I think you need to add a scoring wing type, maybe a defender type that's going to slot in that three-man role or that wing type role next to Ace, who could play the three or the four, someone that can kind of bounce off of him, can score if they need to, can score the easy buckets. And then you need a big man. You need a big man with soft hands, man. I can't stand how many times they throw it down to the big man or dump it off to the big man, whether it be Ogbo, whether it be Wolfolk, whether it be Clift. Mm-hmm. And these guys just fumble the ball. I need someone that can just catch the ball simply. Also, I want someone that's athletic enough that can run up and down the court with these guys because this is going to be like that tempo is at 173 this year, and it took a leap from 263 to 173. It's going to take another leap next year. I wouldn't be shocked if it was in the top 120, I'll say, just because Ace and Dylan like to play fast. Well, I should say Ace specifically likes to play fast. Dylan's got the vision that he can play fast if need be. He's got the ball control that he can slow it down if need be or speed it up. But Jeremiah Williams is quick, too. This is going to be a very fast-paced offense next year. It's going to be actual college basketball offense. No more of this old-school Big Ten bullshit, back-down, booty ball, all that nonsense. I'm done with it. This is going to be actual college basketball for a change. It's going to be like a Big East-style type of offense. I don't know if any of you watch it other than the Seton Hall game every year. But it's just fast, quick-paced guard play. And I know I said guard play, but Ace is essentially a guard. He's just a 6'11 guard that can do everything. Yep. It's going to be fun. I need a center that can catch the ball, can catch lobs, can run transition, play transition defense as well, because I need guys getting back also. And I think that's where it's going to be a nice compliment because these guys are coming in with offensive skill sets already. And Pikel has the defensive mindset, so they're going to bounce off each other pretty nicely. But it's all about fitting around those two players. How can I fit around them? I need a guard that can swap in with Jeremiah in and out because Dylan's playing 30-plus minutes. I need a wing that can score at will. I need Gavin Griffiths to step the fuck up shooting wise, like big time. Like yeah. I need him to take that next step and show that top 20 level caliber recruit that we've seen in the past. I also need another forward too to back up Ace. Ace is going to need a break eventually. I know he doesn't take breaks in high school, which is just insane. like even when he played at the rack, like he took one break and that was when they were already up 15. It's like, all right, we're up 15. Now I can kind of like, we're done. 10 minutes left, not even. But I need a bench. I can't have this stupid bullshit where they go into the tournament and there's the past three games they have two bench points. Like it's I can't do it this year or next year. So
I got an over under here for you.
Shoot.
So currently we have five freshmen committed in the class of 2024. They're coming in, they're locked up.
Yep.
Over under 2.5 players that are new names, either from the portal or JUCO ranks, that'll be on the roster next year from what's currently on the roster and committed to Rutgers?
Over.
Over? So you're thinking like at least three additions.
A lock, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm still pretty adamant that they're going to lose 4 to 5, like, via the portal alone. So, I mean, look at it this way. We went through the whole roster. Oscar could come back. Jeremiah comes back.
J. Mike
and Griffiths, so that's 4. Add to 5, that's 9. And then 10, 11, 12, 13, 4. So it's pushing that number, actually. It's very close.
Yeah, yeah.
It depends if you want Oscar back or not. And I think Oscar comes back, so maybe you'll have three. So we'll hit the over, technically.
Yeah, and you get 13 scholarships, so yeah, I could definitely see it. It'll be very interesting. It wouldn't surprise me if one of those freshmen ends up redshirting, or if not redshirting, you know, is, you know, playing an outside role on the team.
Yeah, but I think that's almost a given. I know Bryce Dortch has looked really good, so he's probably going to be like a backup four type. I've compared him to Moat Mag with a better offensive game. So there's my my swap right there. I can't. It's not as easy as that, but it's definitely nice to have those pieces. And Grant's huge. Like I've seen, like they said, Grant's walked into the locker room and like you can't even tell him apart because he's just that tall and that big. Like he's bulky. Yep. So we'll see. It's gonna be fun.
It'll be interesting. It'll be a lot of fun. Especially content wise, there'll be some stuff swirling. I just, as we were talking about, I got another person who hit me up about they're hearing the same Cliff to St. John's connection. So.
Keep an eye out. You never know.
Yeah.
Vitamin water does pay. Even though I don't know who drinks it anymore, to be honest, but I haven't had one in a while. Maybe it's just me.
Yeah. It'll be fun. This offseason is going to be crazy. So Rutgers plays the first game in the Big Ten tournament tomorrow, 6:30 Peacock against Maryland. I don't know what they are in terms of a betting favorite or betting odds there. I bet they're an underdog, though. I think this team's just ready to pack it in and head home. I hope I'm proven wrong, because it'd be fun to have a Big Ten tournament run. It shaped up nicely for Rutgers if they are able to beat if they're able to beat Maryland. I believe they would play Wisconsin, right, the next following round.
I believe so.
And then after that, they would play Northwestern if they won that game too.
Yeah, no odds out yet for this game. Specifically.
Anyway.
Going back to the real quick, for people that don't know the Vitamin Water thing, the CEO/founder of Vitamin Water is St. John's alum, and he's basically funding their NIL. So just
Rutgers, if they beat Maryland, would play Wisconsin, and if they beat Wisconsin, they'd play Northwestern. So they've beaten all three of those teams this year. And they avoid any of those teams that have really given them trouble, like Iowa, like Illinois, like Nebraska, like Purdue, like Michigan State, until potentially semifinals. So the path is there, but I think every team that is in that like lower bracket feels the same way. I'm sure Penn State fans feel the same way. Maryland fans feel the same way. So we'll see how it goes. I am not super confident, but I've been wrong before. So let's see how things go. We will have a podcast after the season is over for sure. Then next week, we're going to give away those two home field gift cards for $50 each. They are going to be given away to somebody who either writes a review for the podcast on Apple Podcasts. You get two entries for that if you mention This Is March, or if you leave a comment in this YouTube video.
Also have to subscribe
referencing
too.
This Is March. This one below. You'll get an entry into it and we'll give it away, just like we've done all the other giveaways. There's also one other thing that has kind of been bubbling up. There's this proposed NIL tournament in Vegas that's going to happen over Feast Week next year. There's been rumblings that Rutgers is involved. Nothing's been confirmed. The tournament hasn't been set, but that would be very interesting if Rutgers is involved, because people have been calling for Rutgers to get into a Feast Week tournament. Feichel seemingly has been reluctant to do it, and this would be a huge boon to Rutgers if they are in it. Again, it hasn't been finalized, but we're hearing good things regarding Rutgers' involvement.
Yeah, some interesting names out there too involved with that tournament. I think Duke specifically was the other name we saw out there. Mm-hmm. So that I think the college basketball people in the stratosphere that are running the show here, I think they'd probably want to see the number one and number two recruiting class go against each other. I'm just
that would definitely be something that would be hugely hyped. NBA, can you imagine the amount of NBA personnel that would be at that tournament? That'd be incredible.
Imagine Vegas for a weekend as a work trip.
Guys, this isn't hyperbole. Like,
see at the craps table.
There would be representation from every NBA team in the league at that tournament. Probably GMs for a lot of the teams that are expected to be bad. And this could be the type of performance that vaults Ace Bailey to number one in terms of like the mock drafts. If he goes out and hypothetically dominates against a Cooper Flag, that would be insane. And that's the matchup that everybody wants to see. And they might get it if things break the way that we hope they do. So,
yeah,
that is all I got. What, anything else you wanted to hit on before we head out?
I was reading a text from someone. Not that it's important at all. But did you mention how it's $100 million just to be in the tournament?
Yeah. So I didn't look at the numbers specifically. I didn't want to get my hopes too high. But yeah, it's been reported that each team gets what. At least $1 million.
$1 million in NIL dollars just for participating. If you win, you get another $1 million.
That's wild.
That's insane. Like that's a selling point right then and there. Hey, that's, you want to come play for $1 million? You get it automatically just for playing. Like being on the team.
Like the in-season tournament gives something like that per player, but it's the same concept of like it's a huge deal for these college kids.
For context, the CBI last year offered agreements of. The winning school gets $25,000 for their team. The runner up gets $10,000. Each semifinals team gets $2,500. This is $1 million.
Yep.
Oh, geez. That's fun.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. This is
great.
I'm excited for it. But
also,
that is
Kansas
all...
is in there too, which I would love to just stick it to Bill Self a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, these are going to be some tough games, and it would definitely boost Rutgers' resume as well because they're neutral site games against top teams. Those kind of wins are resume builders. So,
yeah,
we'll see how it goes. But for me and Richie, this has been another edition of the Night Report podcast. Signing out.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.